the way I preach, particularly as a pastor, is to be able to connect the dots for you along the way, to have a puzzle, if you will, so that at the end of it all, you can see the big picture. And so I started this year talking to you about 2020 and what is about to emerge and what that looks like and how it relates to this being the year of emergence and the year of double portion, and what does the double portion mean and why is that important. And I want to now take you into the next phase of that conversation and begin to talk to you about the goodness of God. And the reason I want to talk to you about the goodness of God is, first and foremost, we have to begin to continue, or should I say, to better tell the truth about who God is. The world does a poor job of the world does a good job of lying, and the church does a poor job of telling the truth. The world lies great, and the church tells the truth badly. And so I want to drill down on this conversation with you over the next few minutes I have, and it's only a few. I want to drill down this conversation with you about the goodness of God as a broader topic, but I want to drill down a little bit more on what does that mean. And so today I want to talk to you about the potential of God. The reason I want to talk to you about the potential of God is because if you don't understand the potential of God, you won't understand the permission that God gives you. And so it's the potential of God, then it's the permission of God, and then it's the power of God, and then it's the promises of God. And so all month long, that's what you're about to hear. But today, the only thing you're about to hear is about the potential of God. So go with me to the Word, to two passages of Scripture. I want to start off in Genesis 1, and then I am going to make a great theological leap over into John 1. It is our tradition and custom to stand for the reading of the Word, and so as soon as you get it, go ahead and stand on your feet, and we'll read the Word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I love your KLC, and I don't have a lot of time this morning because I want to honor all of our time, and I want to give you everything that God gave me. And I promise you, if you be open to this Word, it's going to absolutely bless you. If you fight it, then I'm going to preach and go home. Y'all are too much. Y'all are too funny. Hello, Henry. That was a joke. Look at your name and say, please, that was a joke, man. Come on. That was a joke. Lighten up. Lighten up. Smile. Give your face a break. It's all right. Come on. Lighten up, lighten up. Amen. Come on, let's go to the Word of the Lord. I want to take you to Genesis 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the earth was without form and void. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3 says this, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. John 1 says it like this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. For the next few moments, I want to talk to you about the potential of God. Because the final verse says that I want to highlight, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this brief moment in time that you have set aside. We thank you, Father, that you set it aside for none other purpose than to speak to us. You gave us a Sabbath, one day rest, to reposition ourselves, to rethink ourselves, to bring our motion to a pause, to center us, to focus on you. And at this moment, that's exactly what we're going to do. So I pray that you speak to us. Let our hearts be so open that it cannot be distracted. Let our ears so be tuned in to what you have to say that we will not lose our focus. Somebody needs a word from you. Somebody needs to hear from you. So, Father, as you speak, do it with all of your power. I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. Have your way, Lord. This is your house, and we are your people. And as a result of what you're going to do today, we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. You already smiled at somebody, so go on, sit down. That's all right. You did it already. You did it earlier. I want to talk to you about the potential of God, and I don't want to take a lot of time to highlight a lot of the attributes of God. But when we start talking about the Lord, we cannot talk about him without talking about his attributes. His attributes meaning that he is self-existing. That means that in the beginning, God. Or better translated, when you break open the Word of God and begin to look at the scripture in its original Hebrew text, you begin to understand that the word beginning is plural. The reason it is plural, and in other words, it says beginnings and not beginning, is because if you do not have it in its plural form, it would denote that God began when the beginning began. But God is self-existing, meaning beside him, there is none other. He is and was and always is and was, and nothing started him. And so God was alone. Come on, somebody. And the Bible lets us know that this is where he decides to start the story. It's amazing to me that in his attributes, a part of his nature and character, he always starts the story in the darkness. Because he understands something about his potential that darkness cannot comprehend his potential. That regardless of how dark it might be, Lord have mercy, his potential can overcome any level of darkness. The potential of a thing, if you will, is related to the source of a thing. And the reason why I want to talk to you about the goodness of God and God's potential is so that you can understand that everything that was ever created was created with potential. And the reason it was created with potential is because it has God's potential. In other words, our story of creation begins with God. In the beginning, God. And as we begin to understand that, we begin to understand then that everything in life was created with potential and possess the potential principle, for lack of a better word. Creation in itself abounds with potential. Why? Because the Creator himself is that potential. And as we begin to describe it, we begin to understand that everything that would begin to exist comes from God. And if you begin to understand that everything that comes from God, everything that was, everything that is, was in God, that's a very important concept. Because as we read in scripture, in the beginnings, Elohim, the self-existing God, created the heavens and the earth. Then something happened to what he created, and the earth was void. Come on, somebody. And without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It's amazing to me that in God's potential, he doesn't panic over what happened to his creation. The reason he does not panic is because if he created it before, he can do it again. Oh, go ahead and touch your neighbor and do a quick dry one and say, if he did it before, he can do it again. I need you to understand that when I talk about potential, I'm talking about potential as it relates to all of the ability of a thing, the thing that lies dormant, the thing that sits there, that has power, that has ability, but that ability is reserved, and that power that potency is dormant, that power is untapped, that strength is unused, that talent is hidden. That is potential. The capability that you have is capped, and it's not visible. It's not present. You can't see it. That is potential. And so potential, in a definition, is all that you can become but have not done it yet. It's all that you could be, but you haven't done it yet. It's all that you could reach, but haven't reached it yet. It's all that you can accomplish, but haven't accomplished yet. And so when we take a look in the scripture and we're looking at those elementary verses, if you will, of Genesis 1, we're looking at God's potential going to work. We're looking at God pulling out of him everything that was on the inside of him. And if you begin to understand that concept, you will begin to understand how much potential that you have because of how much potential God has. You cannot understand your potential if you do not understand his potential. And you say, Pastor, why are you going on this kind of Zig Ziglar level type of talking about potential? And the reason that I'm doing it is because when you begin to drill down on the goodness of God, you can't drill down on the goodness of God without coming across Psalms 139, which says that I was fearfully and I was wonderfully made. Oh, I wish I had somebody. That God possessed my reins before I ever came into the earth, that he knew me. You can't talk about the goodness of God without coming across what Jeremiah told us, that before you were formed in the belly of your mother or your daddy, your daddy's loins, that God knew you and ordained you to be a prophet to the nation. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you, that everything that exists in this world came out of God's potential, because he is the source of that very potential. And so before there was time, my God, time was in God. And before there was the Milky Way was in God. Before there were the planets, Lord have mercy, was in God. Before the earth became into existence, it was all in him. And he began to pull it out of him. It is that God that was in the beginning. That means before the beginning began. I wish I had a church in here that begins to create everything that he wants. But everything that he wants, you cannot see, but it's on the inside of him. And then as you begin to read down Genesis 1, you begin to see what was in him become visible and unfold right before your eyes. Do me a quick favor and say, you might not see it right now, but you already got it. You might not see it right now. I wish I had somebody to talk to, but you already got it. The invisible became visible. What we could not see became seen. What looked like it was never gonna happen actually happened. How did it take place? Well, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Oh, come on. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. It says that through him all things were made. I'm going somewhere with this thing. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. Oh, Lord have mercy. And that life was the light of men. Life came out of God. Before you even knew life, life was. Lord have mercy. If you would come to God in his self-existing state, on the highway of nothingness, right? Lord have mercy. If you would come to him on a dark street located right off the highway of nothingness, you would think he had nothing. But to be more ridiculous about my point, he had cows in him and horses in him and elephants in him and fish in him. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And amoebas in him and insects in him. And oh, y'all don't want to talk about it. It was all in him before it showed up. Why? Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the earth was without form. Come on. And it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then God surveyed the whole thing as his spirit hovered over the water, and with the word, my God, that John is talking about, began to speak into the situation that was in front of him from the thing that he had already previously created that was now broken. And the atmosphere was collapsing on itself, and the earth was turned inside out. And then God began to speak to it. And the first thing he spoke was light. And light began to expand across the universe and began to create order. And because he never told light to stop, it's still going. Let me stop playing around with it. I wonder what word is still going in your life. Because once God speaks a word, it cannot return unto him void. It must accomplish what it was sent to do and prosper. Touch your neighbor and say, the word's hunting you down. The word's hunting you down. God told Jeremiah, I will hasten after my word to perform it. The psalmist tells us that God exalts his word above his name. His word is important to him. Why? Because in the beginning, the word was right there with him. Speaking into the situation, talking him, and pulling out of the chaotic earth order. So the chaos was becoming cosmos. Through the word, touch your name and say, that's potential. When we talk about potential, what we're saying is that God is omnipotent. This is an attribute. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. I just want to focus on omnipotence for a second, because omniscient means he's all-knowing. Omnipresent means he's everywhere present. But omnipotent means he's always powerful. That means power is always present in God. It means more than all powerful. It means he's always powerful. That means there's never not a time where he's not potent. The word potent really drilled down, really comes where we get our word pregnant from. It means that you have something on the inside of you that's so powerful that it is alive. Touch your name and say, don't look now, but you're potent, you're potent, you're potent. There's a dream on the inside of you. There's an idea on the inside of you. There's something on the inside of you that, dare I say, that the enemy is real afraid of, that if you ever find out how much potential you really have, you don't know who you are. And the reason you don't know who you are is because you don't know who he is. If you understood his potential, you would not be questioning who you are. Because if he can come into a situation that's dark and without form and void and just speak into it and stuff start happening, touch your name and say, so can you. Oh, I wish I had somebody in here. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's go. It wasn't that he just spoke into the situation and it just happened. No, spoke was hard work. Why? Because, oh, Lord have mercy. The Bible says by faith, God spat out what was in him. Everything in him started coming forth. He birthed it out by faith. That's why without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord, because that's how he gets stuff done. So faith, the Hebrew says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things, what? Not seen. Faith is not the evidence of things that do not exist. Y'all sleeping on me. Faith is not the evidence of things that do not exist. It is the evidence of things not seen. So it exists, but I can't see it. And when I activate my faith, I'm activating my faith on what exists. It's just not visible. Oh, you got to get with me on this one. Not only is it not visible, I don't have to worry about it coming from outside somewhere and depending on somebody else bringing it. It's already on the inside. Slap your neighbor high five, say, excuse me, I'm about to push something out right now. I got this thing on the inside of me that I tried to taper down, but I am about to push that thing out right now. This next hallelujah is about to birth a business. This next hallelujah is about to birth a healing. This next my God, Lord Jesus, I feel the love. I wish I had 10 folk in here. Push something out. Woo, glory to God. Everything we see has already been. It has already been. It became visible when God spoke it into being, because God is the source of life. Everything you see in this room right now already was. Lord have mercy. Why? Because spoke was hard work. When God was speaking into creation, he was making the invisible to become visible, and he did it by his word. And so to broaden your understanding of the word spoke is always a process. I want to debunk the myth for a second that you can just blab it and grab it and name it and claim it and all that. I understand that I grew up in Word of Faith. My father switched over from Holiness Pentecostal to Word of Faith. So I understand the teaching of faith. I get that. And even those great, great sages, when it comes to the Word of Faith, weren't talking about just blabbing it and grabbing it. That's how it got labeled. But that's not what they were talking about. They were talking about a deeper truth, a deeper understanding that Isaiah 48 tells us. Lord have mercy. It tells us that God first conceived in his mind what he wanted to create. He first conceived it in his mind what he wanted, and then he pulled it out. He laid the groundwork, if you will, and then he spread out the heavens, and he created the sun to shine during the day and the moon and the stars at night. And then he gave the stars name, every last one of them a name. And then he ordered the clouds to fill the sky and the breeze to blow. He made the waves to roar in the sea. And then he sent the rain to water the earth. And then he covered the earth in green grass to break up the monotony. Lord have mercy. He created the thunder and the lightning, and he did it all at his command. Hail and sleet and snow and all of those things, he did it. Why? He was full of imagination. Jesus, have mercy. He refused to let the memory of what he already created stop his creativity. So that means the enemy can mess it up, but by the word of God, you can get it fixed back up. Oh, I wish I had a church in here. That means I can lose some stuff, but I can get it back. Slap your neighbor high five and say, where's your imagination? Stop serving God out of memory and start serving him out of your imagination. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think. Let me wrap this thing up. I'm almost there. I'm going to wrap this thing up. And so watch this now. Watch this. God didn't create the world by just thinking the whole thing into being. He worked it into being. I'm going to lose half the church right here. Lord, have mercy. He didn't just think it into being. He worked it into being. For the Bible says, after he created a plan in his mind, I'm giving you the strategy right now, God began to speak to make the visible the invisible. And speaking was the way. Speaking was the way. Speaking was the way. Speaking was the way. Speaking was the way he worked. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Speaking was the way he worked. Speaking was the way he worked. That's why when he got to the end of his work, he said, I'm going to create something in my image and after my likeness, and then I'm going to let them have dominion over the earth. And so to test out to see if they were like him, he gave them work. And when he gave them work, his job, Adam's job, was to name everything that God created. Why? Because he wanted him to work like him. Oh, I'm talking better than y'all shall. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm about to go to work. I'm about to go to work. I got to open my mouth again and start speaking the word over my situation. I'm about to go to work. Oh, God, I'm feeling it here. So your work is not your 9 to 5. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, God, your work is just not your 9 to 5. Your work is how you work the word of the Lord. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm about to go to work. I'm about to go to work. So when I find myself down in a ditch, I'll go to work and say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I say, I'll fear no evil. I'm about to go to work. Potential is always potential, but it will never be power unless you use it. Lord, have mercy. I can go home off of that right there. Potential is always potential, but it will never convert to power unless you use it. And so God is using his potential by declaring his word, and he worked the word, and that's how he created the world. And so for 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, and then on the seventh, he chilled out. On the seventh, he said, I gotta take a break. On the seventh day, he rested. This is what the Bible says. From all his work of creating that he had done. Genesis 2:2-3 says he rested from all the work of creating all that he had done. That means spoke must have been serious business. What? And so what would your week look like if you spent 6 days speaking? And then one day hearing. Oh, my God, Lord. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. Why do I got to hear the word of God? So I can go and speak it. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm going to speak tomorrow. I'm going to speak not on nobody's platform, but I'm going to wake up and I'm going to start speaking the word. And when Tuesday come, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to put my bills on the table, and I'm going to start speaking the word. And when Wednesday come, I'm going to walk up in my job, and I'm going to start speaking the word. And when Thursday shows up, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to start speaking the word. And when Friday gets here, I'm going to go out on a towel, but I'm going to be speaking the word. And when Saturday... Hey! Well, somebody shout, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it. So God was the first one. He spoke, here I go, and then he Shabbat. Shabbat just means Sabbath. He spoke, and then he Shabbat. He spoke, and then he Shabbat. He 6 days, I'm going to speak, and then I'm going Shabbat. Because I'm creating something. And when I create it, I'm going to put succession in my creation. Oh, God. So that I don't have to keep speaking to what I already spoke to. I'm going to set somebody else up to speak. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I just said. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. Oh, God. And then I'm going to make sure that I institute a Shabbat for them. So that when they go to work and speaking, then they'll also Shabbat. Y'all ain't in here with me. Touch your name and say, you're Shabbatting right now. You're Shabbatting right now. Why? You're resting and you're ceasing from all your work so that you can get a renewed spirit and a renewed mind to go back out there and get back to work on the stuff that God told you to create. And so you can't create because of the chaos. And you're letting the chaos stop your imagination. And so you can't imagine better. Or you want better without work. Y'all got my car started. He worked his way into better. Oh my God. And then he rested. He intended the Shabbat to be a blessing. Why? Because he knows that life that produces work and work creates the need for rest. And so don't let nobody make you make an excuse for you taking a Shabbat. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Here's where I have to interject, because the Bible says, the word was with him was in the beginning. And the only part I want to fixate on is that in him was life. And that life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Why did the darkness didn't understand? How is it that the darkness didn't come to understand the light? It's because the darkness is trying to figure out, why is he still working? You mean to tell me you still creating stuff? You mean to tell me you're still, oh Lord have mercy. You don't get it. That means that every time the next day comes, because the day is set as a covenant. God didn't make a clock, he made a covenant. And when he made a covenant, he made it on a 24-hour cycle, meaning that if you always have a day, then you know you have a covenant. God said through Jeremiah, if you can break my covenant with the day, then I'll reverse all of my work. In other words, there's no way that you can break 24 hours from coming. Sure as the sun rises and sets, Monday gonna show up, whether you like it or not. That's God letting the darkness know, you can't handle me. Y'all ain't here. Because whatever you bring to them today, I'm still gonna give them a tomorrow. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you still got tomorrow. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You still got tomorrow. You still have the ability to create. It never stopped. That's why he never said, light, stop. That means right now, regardless of your circumstance or your conditions, you can still get to work. Regardless of who said what about you, you still can get something done. Why? Slap your neighbor high five and say, because I got God potential. If everything that was created with the potential of God, then the Bible says when he said, let us make man after our image and after our likeness, baby, that included me. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm walking around here with God potential. I might just speak a word into your life and that thing might just revolutionize your life because I got God potential. You and I have the same potential that he has. Why? Because everything that was and is was in God. Therefore, God is the source of all potential. And all things were formed at God's command. So the invisible became visible. And when he planned the whole world in his mind, he began to speak it into existence. And then he took a break. The reason he took a break was because you were already here. Oh, Lord have mercy. And because you are now here, you can keep the party going. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm about to start speaking over some stuff. Oh, God. When God began to form the world again, he began to call whatever was in the world out of it. Let the earth bring forth. Let it bring forth grass. Let it bring forth trees. Let it bring forth the animals. He told the sea to loose the fish, and it loosed the fish. He spoke to everything and called the thing that was in the thing out of it. But baby, when he made you and I, he didn't speak to the dirt. He didn't speak to the water. He didn't speak to anything, but he spoke to himself. And he said, let us make man. Touch your name and say, you got God potential. So what do? With God potential, you got to come back next Sunday. To find out. I wish I had somebody give God praise up in here. Somebody shout, I got to speak to it. I got to speak to it. My God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in me. You have untapped, dormant ability because God had the same. The psalmist calls us everlasting doors. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Oh, God. The Lord God, strong and mighty. Stop walking around here like you don't have something. The greater one lives on the inside of you. And regardless of situation, circumstances, conditions. I love it because Genesis 1 is so rich. God doesn't fight the conditions. He just creates in the conditions. We worrying about the storm instead of worrying about what can we create in the storm. I can't go there. I can't go there. If you, for a moment, understand who he is. See, God is good. We say God is good, and then we say all the time, God, God's, yeah, which is fitting. He's good. That means it intimates that the good doesn't change. So he's good when it's dark. He's good when it's light. And when he calls something good, he's saying it works. So when he said, let there be light in the evening and the morning, well, the first day, and the Lord saw, and it was good. There's only one place, oh God, have mercy, in the creation narrative where God didn't say it was good. When he created this thing called the firmament. Yes. The firmament is the expanse between his kingdom and the earth. It's the barrier between the two. This is where your Bible describes Lucifer roaming back and forth. Yes. When he tells God, I've been roaming to and fro, searching, looking for somebody to devour. I'm trying to find somebody, I can't. And God says, have you thought about my dude Job? Why didn't God call that good? Because it was not permanent. Woo! Lord have mercy. When he calls it good, it's permanent. That's a temporary holding spot. Oh, God, have mercy. Oh, have mercy. So the Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Temporary holding spot. So temporary that he cannot even capture your praise. Oh, my God. He can capture prayer. He can hinder or delay answers. That's what the Bible says. Daniel prays a prayer and he can't get his answer, and Michael has to come down and fight the prince of Persia to release the answer. So prayers can be held up, but praise can't. Stay with me. Stay with me. Because praise goes right over the expanse, right to the throne room of God. That's why he inhabits the praises. So God gave you a space of dominion that the enemy can't mess with. Woo, hallelujah. That's powerful. I don't have time. I don't have time. Pastor, why is all that important? This is where David teaches us about potential when he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Why? Because sometimes my speak is off. So to get my speak back, I fill my mouth with praise. Oh, my God. So whenever my speak is off, I can go to the Shabbat, Lord have mercy, and start praising God to get my speak. So that's why we're here this morning. Because the chaos sometimes throws us off. Throws us out of whack, makes us feel like we're out of covenant, makes it feel like God is not there, makes it feel like our words have no power. Your words have absolute power. Power of life and death is in your tongue. They say talk is cheap. I disagree. Talk is not cheap. It's expensive. Say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Oh, y'all don't want to hear me. We'll talk you right out of an opportunity. Talk you right out of a promotion. Talk you right out of something God wants for your life. Talk is expensive. That's why I spoke with serious business. And so I want you to fill your heart and your mind with the goodness of God this month. I want you to fill your mouth with praise this month. I want you to go to the Psalms and read the Psalms. Take the Psalm they give you on Sunday morning. If you were late for service, what was the Psalm this morning? Somebody tell me. Psalm 121. Psalm 121. And take that and read it all week. And fill your mouth with praise. Because I promise you, it's going to be hard for you to speak negatively. Because negative speakers work too. You're doing the same level of building. You're just building what you don't want to see. So you have to govern this thing, this tongue that is hard to tame. And I've learned you can't quote silence. My wife and I are arguing, I go silent. Because you can't quote it. By the time I start talking again, we done forgot about what it even happened in the first place. I'm not shutting around, I'm not shutting down. I refuse. I can't argue. I can't speak it into my spirit, into my atmosphere. I can't do it. It makes me a crazy dude, and I don't want to be a crazy dude. So this week, all month, fill your mind with the goodness of God. The Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called of God. Fill your mind with the goodness of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Give no thought to tomorrow. It's enough problems tomorrow. Don't worry about that. You got another day. It's coming. Don't even worry about it. Fill your mind. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God. Fill your mind with the goodness of God. Fill your mouth with praise. And then speak life into the things you want to create. Your relationships, your work, your children. Speak life. Speak life. Stop telling your kids what they're not. Start telling them what they are. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. If you start speaking over your wife, if you start washing her with the water of words, she might become what you want. Oh, y'all want to talk back to her? Speak life over your job. You might not hate it. Spoke is serious business. Speak the word, Shabbat. Speak the word, Shabbat. Speak the word, Shabbat. Come on, grab that hand real quick. Father, I thank you that our hearts and our minds are being filled with goodness, filled with life. Your word is life. It is the light of men. It's how we find our way. It's how we illuminate our path where we're in a dark place. It's how we hold on to hope and hope against hope. It's how we walk by faith and not by sight. Your word. God, let us get back to your word. Not sensationalism. Not little tidbits and trinkets that we're trying to eat off online. That's like eating cotton candy. It's good for a moment, but it's going to make you sick later. Father, we need the meat, the milk, the bread of your word, that it be nourishment to our spirits. And as we begin to hear your word, let us speak it. Let us declare it. And as we declare it, we're going to see it come to pass. For your word cannot return unto its void. It must accomplish what it was sent to do. So we thank you, Father, for every word we're going to speak now. I thank you for every word that was already spoken. Every word we declared, every word is spoken over our lives. Father, I thank you. It is hunting us down and chasing us down, and it is going to manifest, and we're going to see that thing unfold. Because your goodness, Father, comes to us without merit. We cannot work for it. We do not earn it. You're just good. And you're even better than what we think. So we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the word spoken over our lives. In Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. That word bless you. Come on, lift those hands. Receive the blessing of the Lord. While you got your hand up, go Chiefs. All right. I root for the AFC team. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word. Now bless your people. Let your face shine upon them. Be gracious unto them. Give them peace. Surround them with your favor like a shield. Let your angels protect them, and your precious blood cover them from now to eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you in here on Wednesday night.